Moving back to financial instruments.
Not really.
Okay, so first of all, question on classification and measurement, agenda paper 8.
Yes.
I'm handing over to Vincent again.
So in this paper, we discuss a request about how a holder would classify a particular financial asset applying IFRS 9 financial instrument. Specifically, the request describes a dual currency bond with a par amount denominated in one currency and fixed interest coupon payments denominated in another currency. The submitter asks whether such an instrument has contractual cash flows that are solely payment of principal and interest on the principal amount of outstanding applying IFRS 9. As described in paragraph 12 and 13 of the agenda paper, almost all respondents to our outreach request said that the dual currency bond described by the submitter is not common. In addition, we note that the submitter asked about a highly specific financial instrument. We are aware that there are many different variations of dual currency bond in practice, and we think differences in the contractual terms could affect the analysis and classification conclusion. We also note that entities are required to apply IFRS 9 for annual periods beginning on or after the 1st of January 2018. Stakeholders have clearly signaled that discussions on IFRS 9 so close to its effective date has the potential to be disruptive rather than being helpful to entities' implementation activities. For all those reasons, we recommend not analyzing the accounting for the instrument described in the submission. In addition, we recommend the committee does not add this matter to its standard setting agenda, because we have not obtained evidence that the matter is widespread or is expected to have a material effect on those affected. I would now ask whether you agree with our recommendation, and if so, I will ask whether you have any comments on the tentative agenda decision that we propose in Appendix A to the paper.
Just before I hand over to you, I think that perhaps there's a risk that people might pick up this paper and think that means that we're saying we refuse to answer any IFRS 9 questions at all because of timing, which I think would be an overstatement. I think in exactly the same way as for 15, if we think that the need for helping people is sufficient, we will look at answering questions on 9 or any of the new standards. It's more that in this case, we think given the very specific question that we've received and the potential for disruption if we start talking about how to interpret solely payments of principal and interest, even if it was only a staff analysis in the paper without anything further happening as a result of it, may be more costly than beneficial. So that's the assessment that's behind the sort of staff's or lack of analysis and recommendations in this paper. Obviously, you may have different views on that, but just to sort of set the scene and also maybe to help people listening to the meeting today understand why our approach on from a staff perspective in terms of IFRS 15 and 9 might appear to be quite different. With that, Bruce?
Thanks, Sue. I've got no problem with us not addressing this. I mean, it is a very specific issue, and I think the outreach is pretty clear. I mean, everybody's saying that this is not a problem, so I'm very happy with the answer to that. I know you've spoken about it, but I just will draw my attention. I mean, I was very concerned about Paragraph 16. I just think that we've got to be, the fact that we spent a serious chunk of our morning discussing fact-specific issues on IFRS 15, which we know have an impact, we know are in a jurisdiction, and we were all sitting here very consciously trying to narrow down the facts to a specific fact pattern. I would just think we need to be very careful about that message. But no, I mean, other than that, yeah, if based on the outreach and based on that, I don't have a problem with doing it.
Thanks, Bruce. Paul?
On the other side,
This tentative agenda decision wouldn't be one of my top choices. not sure it's uncommon or not. Didn't think it would be, but we will find out if when we issue this, if it is common or not. A couple of points. One, I do think it's a little odd that we don't address this when the IFRS 9 standard addresses it on the issuer side. So it was important enough and common enough for the board to address it as on the issuer side, but not for us to address it on the holder side. I understand the points about disruption. My more important point is I do think that there is an important lesson here that you cannot componentize a single instrument in doing your analysis of SPPI. And I think this could be narrowly addressed in an agenda decision that indicated just that. Just if you just ask the question, can you componentize a dual currency bond into these two components in addressing and assessing whether it meets SPPI? No. I think that would lessen the disruption that might occur under this.
Maybe.
John?
Yeah, I'm not really supportive of what's been done here. I'm very concerned about a message that because it's IFRS 9 is sort of, you know, effective from 1 January 2018, we're not going to touch the issue because it's disruptive. But on the other hand, we say it's a fairly minor issue with not a lot of people. But meanwhile, we're addressing IFRS 15 issues, which have massive implications right across numerous jurisdictions. So I think it's not to say that we're not touching this because it's disruptive to IFRS 9. It just lacks a bit of credibility in my eyes. I also think that by not saying anything and not doing any technical analysis, we potentially open up possibility for diversity where really there shouldn't be diversity if we had done some analysis and reached a view, which I think we could have easily done. So I'm not really supportive of the way this has been dealt with or the agenda decision.
Ryan Hart?
I overall do agree with the staff proposal not to put this on our agenda. I do see a distinction between this issue and the issues that the IFRS 15 issues that have been raised, because at least from my perspective, the reason why I was very supportive of those issues is the specific fact patterns illustrate a principle that is not clear from the standard itself. I do agree with Bob, there is a broader conceptual issue about componentizing the SPPI assessment for instruments that have separable cash flows, and I'm not sure whether that is an issue that's significant enough that needs to be addressed at this point in time, given people have already made their decisions on that specific issue. And so I would, on balance, withhold fire and just proceed on this basis.
Thank you.
Yang Su? I agree with the staff that this issue is not common or widespread, so that we don't have to express any the decisions on this issue. However, I was surprised when I looked at this paper because there was no basic technical analysis at all. As far as I recall, we always analyze the issue, even though we say we don't go any further than that. I understand the timing is important for IFRS 9 issues, but the basic analysis is important for the readers also. It can tell the people how to read the standard. And as far as I remember, what we said was that we're going to make the agenda decision more educative. And I should say this stack paper is not educative.
Because if we did the analysis and it was different to what a lot of people were doing, we would have created the disruption just by merely posting the paper. So that was why we consciously didn't analyse the instruments.
So I suppose in our thinking about it, there's a bit of at least we've applied what you might call a cost-benefit assessment, and in getting the responses to the outreach, just saying how you know, infrequent these transactions are or not common they are. You know, you're thinking about the benefit side of doing something versus, you know, the cost of us doing something. So I understand what you're saying, but I think to Sue's point is we know from reading that just sheerly even what we put in staff papers or obviously it all goes into the public domain and that has the potential.
But what I'm worrying about is that we can give some kind of bad signal to the people. Even though they submit issues, sometimes we don't analyze it at all, so that they cannot get any information about the submission at all. Mm. So that is a kind of, you know, the feeling I have when I make this staffing.
And I agree, it's a careful balance, but I think if anything at the moment, more questions are being asked about whether we're being too responsive, giving too many specific answers rather than the reverse. So, Michael?
When we discussed it in the Basel Contest, we agreed that it wasn't widespread. So, you know, based on that reason, I think it's right that it's not being added to the agenda because that's the IFRIC process. And really pleased to hear your clarification, I think, Sue, that we were also very concerned about paragraph 16, that you know, this is the time, okay, it may be disruptive, but it's the time also when things get embedded and then it's too late to change them if they're important enough. Quite a big issue, so I think it'd be good to keep this just in our back pockets. You know, does it illustrate an issue of principle that may relate to other issues? You know, some people I talked to said, well, if the answer is obvious, we should just give the answer. But the more people you talk to, the more different views you hear, so I'm not sure that the answer is obvious, apart from to each individual. But I agree with the...
Thank you.
This description.
Jennifer?
So I had a couple of thoughts on this one. So one is I appreciate that the recommendation here is based on the outreach and that you have to have an evidence-based approach. And that the outreach is saying it's not widespread or common. These instruments aren't. Although I think we were sort of left with, you know, was the outreach sufficient to really get to understand that that's the case. I guess we sort of had a feeling, maybe it was more of a gut feeling of, is it really, maybe it's more common than is really expressed here. And we struggle even with our own, when we respond to the outreach requests as regulators within Committee 1 as well, I think we struggle with the fact that we're likely not going to see it because these typically aren't disclosed or there may not be disclosures in the filings about these particular instruments. So it's hard for us to even comment on how common they are, unless we've, you know, specifically dealt with the question, which we hadn't. But a more specific point is in the agenda or the proposed wording, it includes the statement that the matter had, you know, basically does not have widespread effect, but it's also would not have a material effect. I mean, weren't sure the outreach really spoke to materiality on this one, and the submitter seemed to indicate that it would. Perhaps would be material or significant for those that do have these instruments or are using them.
We should reduce it to widespread, not widespread.
Yeah, rather than material. And I think the last point was just like others, I definitely paused on paragraph 16 because it does raise the question. Well, basically, when is the right time to answer questions around SPPI? Is it? I understand the sensitivity around being disruptive, but isn't it? Maybe it's because we preach more of a, you know, try to get it right the first time, and so if people are potentially, if there is diversity, and there's, I guess, potentially even some companies not doing it in accordance with the standard, isn't it better to find that out earlier rather than later, when after practice is developed? But so that was a question I had as well around.
Bertrand?
I think the discussions we're currently having, it goes to the one we had this morning on Agenda Paper 2B, on IFRS 15, and we said this morning that we need to find a balance between being a technical desk helping for any sort of question on one hand, so we don't want to be that, and at the same time, never responding. So, and I think the analysis that was made by the staff in the paper shows that this was a balancedly analyzed, let's say, in the paper. I don't know if I can say that in English, but I think you understood what I mean. And so I concur with the views expressed here in the paper not to add the question to the standard setting agenda,
because it's too narrow, too specific, and there is no, as you said, Jennifer, evidence of a potential widespread issue. If it has, if it had been the case, then we would have answered. And if we don't want to issue an agenda paper, I would not be in favor of answering the question at all in the agenda paper. I mean, honestly, people might look at the IFREC update. I'm not sure that they look at the agenda papers. So,
on the public domain. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Bertrand.
I agree with the staff's conclusion and with the agenda decision. I did have the same observation that Jennifer had about the work material. My sense is that I can see a difference having conducted some internal outreach as well between IFRS 15 and this question, in that I think there were some broad principles in IFRS 15 that the submissions raised questions about. Yes. The evidence, both from the work that the staff did and also from my own outreach, is that these instruments are not widespread. And so I don't think saying we're not going to address this one because it's not widespread is the same as saying we're not looking to address IFRS 9 because of disruption. Mm. If the right question comes along, even if it's disruptive, I think we would answer it.
Bonnie?
I think my comments echo some of what others have said. I agree we should not add this to our agenda. I guess I was always under the understanding that the widespread question was whether or not we add it to the agenda, not whether or not we do any analysis. And I was very surprised to not see any analysis. I think Bob's point in terms of do you separate the instrument and look at the two pieces and the two different currencies, or do you look at it as one instrument because it's legally not separable, I think is a relevant concept. And to me, that's the broad principle which needs to be addressed. Maybe that's not the question that was asked, so I don't know how you tread carefully there, but if we know that this could disrupt because people are looking at it differently, are we willing to accept that diversity? If the answer is yes, then what you have written here is probably fine. If the answer is no, I think we need to add the analysis. Even if we don't address specifically the fact pattern, given how narrow it is.
Anne? My question for the group is, considering what we've looked at today, are the written materials making it clear enough that this issue in 9 is different to 15? So we're responding differently around 15 to how we are around 9. Are we making the reasons for that clear enough in what we've presented today?
Should we respond to it? I mean, where I got to on this very much was on the bit that talks about the 12 letters that were received and 11 said that these weren't widely spread. To me, that was, if you're asking me to put my hand on heart and say why I'd probably support the agenda decision, that's probably the fact that will get me there. Whereas if I'm right on the other ones, we had a much greater response that said there was greater diversity. It's a weak link, but I'm probably going to put my name to that, and so that's what gave me comfort.
I didn't see the order, so Andrew.
I'm a little bit torn in this one. I understand the limited applicability of this, and I'm quite drawn to the same thought process as Bruce is saying, well, if it doesn't really arise very much, we probably shouldn't look at it. I suppose where I would then go is that I'd ask the question, is the answer clear or is it not clear? And does the answer illustrate a principle in IFRS 9? Because we have the guidance, for example, for a variable rate loan with a cap, where you look at that in two different ways. One, you've got a variable rate, and the other, you've got the cap, but you meet SPPI. And so could you have someone who said, ah, I've got one of these bonds, but look, it's a very simple instrument, the SPPI cash flows. One of them just happens to be in a different currency, but I'm I can look at So is there something that we might do which would illustrate a principle of just how far that goes? The answer may be no. So I'm a little bit torn on that one. The other thing is that if we were going to give an answer, I don't think personally putting it in an agenda paper, even though it's a public paper, quite gets you there. I think the number of people who even look at a FRIC update is relatively limited. Those who read the agenda papers as a smaller group, it would at least need to go into the update.
Jim.
I do share many of our concerns here, the wording and our apparently the attitude toward this inquiry is somehow need to be rephrased. And I know the timing is very sensitive, and the answer back to Andrew's comment, and we may not have a clear answer yet. But as Bob just mentioned, I do concern that just telling people we could cut the instrument to pieces is something much riskier than not taking the questions. So I think if we don't want to add this on our agenda setting, agenda, I'm fine, but we need to rephrase it. Thank God or someone, thank anyone that it's not common, that's it. And we just put it aside until we have resources to dig in and see. To me, many derivatives could have separable pieces and that could be read differently. So the concerns here is much bigger than the answer to the specific questions. So if we want to issue something right now, we just need to blame on the not so very common situation. That's it. And they don't mention all the other big issues.
Okay, so the staff's recommendation is that we not add this matter to our standard setting agenda for a combination, I think, really, of the fact that our outreach says that it's not widespread. I think we should delete the material effect. I would agree with Jennifer on that. And I think we have this sort of weird combination of the fact that the particular instrument that's been described is so simple that I don't think we think it's very common at all. And also I think behind the staff's thinking, from what I understand, they think that analysing this particular instrument wouldn't be particularly informative because it is such a sort of simple instrument that isn't that relevant in the market. But I think on the flip side, if we start talking about broader issues, this disruptive effect that we're concerned about is even bigger concern. So I think the staff recommendation is that we not add this to the standard setting agenda with the proposed removal of the words. So maybe we'll vote on that first and then we can talk about words. So firstly, can I have a show of hand from the committee on whether they agree with the staff's recommendation not to add this matter to the standard setting agenda?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
That, moving to the words of the tentative agenda decision. So I think the proposal was to remove the reference to the material effect, which seems like a sensible idea. Then I guess the only question for me is whether we should add in any more colourful, whether this was different to 15 or whether we just leave it like this.
All I'd say is at the minute this complies with the due process requirements in terms of obviously one of the criteria that the committee considers and whether to add to its agenda is, you know, does it have widespread effect, you know, or does it have? So I think at least in terms of complying with due process, it would explain it by saying the committee has not obtained evidence that the matter has widespread effect.
I don't see what we could add to it.
Yeah, I think that's fine, but I just wanted to ask a question. So with that removal of the reference to material effect, can I get a show of hands on the words in the agenda decision, please? All I'm planning to do is to use basically the words in appendix, and the only amendment would be in the second to last paragraph, deleting the words after widespread effect. So the explanation would be that you've not obtained evidence that the matter has widespread effect, full stop, and then consequently you decided not to add it to the standard setting agenda.
I think that where I'm sitting on it is I agree we shouldn't take it onto the standard setting agenda. I think it is that I don't agree we should do no analysis.
Well, can we vote on the assumption that we're doing no analysis and that we've decided not to do agenda setting as the staff propose? So can I get a show of hands on agreeing that we simply publish this tentative agenda decision with the one amendment that I've proposed and do no further work on this, subject to comments?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.